If you don't mind, please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And while you're turning there, I want to just get a couple things out of the way. As you know, we're still trying to protect everybody with this pandemic, so we're not going to take up offering in a traditional way. So when you exit, we're going to have a bucket at every exit for you to be able to put your offering or your tithes in. And I can promise you, every dollar that you actually donate to Fountain of Life goes to do something for the kingdom of God. Isn't that good news? Because every dollar means that means it could be another soul saved for the kingdom. Let me ask you a question. Why does it sometimes seem like that life is nothing but a big old battle? If you feel like, well, life is not a battle at all, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're lying to yourself. Because I believe with all of my heart, one time or another, we all face this battle. And whether we're facing a battle now or we're facing a battle later, this message is for us. My prayer for you today is that this message is not going to affect you emotionally, but it's going to affect your heart so much that it encourages you to have a closer walk with God. So let me ask you this one question. What if you're not the one that chooses the battle, but it's the battle that chooses you? Sometimes we don't do anything to cause the battle. Sometimes we don't ask for the battle. Sometimes it just pops up. Amen? You know, I was asked around Wednesday or Thursday to preach, and I was debating, and I was talking to Pastor Conrad, one of my good friends. Man, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. And what was on my heart was anxiety. And I kept on, you know, researching anxiety and thinking about a message about anxiety. Well, that caused me too much anxiety, so I decided to change the whole subject. But what really was laid in my heart was, what happens when a battle chooses you? See, this message was actually formed out of a song that we all know. And I'm not going to scare you to death and sing this song, but I do want to read some of the lyrics. Y'all ready? The title of the song is I See the Victory. As you know, it says this: a weapon may form, but it will not prosper. When the darkness falls, it will not prevail. Because God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Listen to this. My God will never fail. That's the only thing that our God can do. He cannot do, I should say. He cannot fail. I'm going to see the victory. Say it with me. I'm going to see the victory. This battle is only for a season. For the battle belongs to the Lord. You know, when I was talking about battles, I've shared this story many times, especially if you have taken the track course of becoming a member. And I debated whether I wanted to share it or not. But you know, if it was one of the greatest battles my wife and I ever felt or ever went through, I think it's worth sharing. When my daughter was 9 years old, she was, before she was even 9 years old, she was diagnosed with a muscle disease. And this muscle disease wreaks havoc on your kidneys because all the muscles deteriorate and the particles break down and they go into your kidneys and it starts to crash. Well, we were kind of used to this, you know. When she has an episode, we'll go into a hospital for about a week and they'll give her fluids and pain medicine because it's very painful, and then we'll come home. Well, when she was 9 years old, that didn't happen. I will never, ever forget this battle. I'm in there, and what the testimony is, before this even happened, a few weeks before this happened, my daughter came to me and asked me this one question, and it pierced my heart so deeply, I didn't know how to respond. I was a senior pastor at a church, and most people will let you know that I have a bulldog tenacity. You tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it just to prove you wrong. And when I took this church, I had somebody say, that church ain't going to stay open for 6 months. Well, if I had anything to do with it, we were going to stay open for 6 months in one day. Well, anyway, I was doing everything I can to make sure this church strives. And while I was doing that, I was forgetting my family. I was putting them aside. And my daughter comes up to me and she goes, Daddy, do you love the church more than you love me? That is the worst thing a father could ever hear. Well, we get to the hospital because she was having an episode and we thought it was normal. And then all of a sudden, the doctors come in and say, Mr. Stables, we don't have time for you to sign papers. We have to rush her to ICU. She needs dialysis. She's not doing good at all. Her kidneys completely failed. She was in 100% kidney failure. I did not know what to do. This was a battle that I could not fight. I called my wife, and I didn't want to scare her because, you know, she's having the drive, and I didn't want to have to deal with that battle of her driving and wrecking as well. So I just said, hey, babe, I need you here. And here he is. Tears are just rolling down my eyes, man. And I didn't even know what to pray. It was the hardest thing I've ever dealt with in my whole life. And it was a battle that I never chose. Who's ever been there? Yeah. See, today's passage comes out of 2 Chronicles, and I want to read it to you. You ready? You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or dismay. Tomorrow go against them and the Lord will be with you. Right there, I could say amen and we're done. That right there preaches. If you want this word to be for you, I want you to shout it after I read it again. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judea and Jerusalem. Do not fear or dismay, for tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you. If that scripture is for you, I want you to scream amen right now. Because you know what? I believe, regardless of how many people are in this room, I believe we each are facing a battle one way or another. We all heard the statement, especially when I was taking parenting classes and finding out how to raise kids, and I'm still trying to figure that out, especially teenagers. But it says, pick and choose your own battles. I'm thinking to myself, what battle do I choose when it deals with a 15-year-old? But what if the battle is choosing you? You don't have no word in it. What do you do when something shows up on your table that you didn't ask for or shows up on your doorstep that you didn't order? What do you do when the devil drops something off directly for you to deal with that you wasn't even expecting? That you didn't cause, or that you didn't choose it, or you wasn't even expecting. You know, think about Job. He wasn't expecting for his family to be destroyed. Job wasn't expecting for his property to be demolished. He didn't ask for that. But in the end, he saw his victory. Listen, the battle we might not have to ask for. But I can guarantee, even though we didn't ask for it, we will win it. Come on. Yep. See, some of the battles that we might have to fight might be our finances. It might be a dead-end job that we're not happy with. It might be health or medical. It might be feeling that we're all alone. Some of the battles that we might not ask for that we have to deal with might be helplessness, etc., etc. But because of the verse that I just read, we can stand and know firmly that we will see the victory. I don't think you heard me. Because of the fact of the verse we just read, regardless of what battle we face, we can see the victory. Amen. Now that is the good news. Romans 8:28 says this, and know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Let me ask you a question. Do you love God? Yes. Are you called according to his purpose? Yes. Then that means any battle you face is going to turn into good, and the devil has nothing to do with it.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Genesis 50:20 says this, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant for good in order to bring it about it, and in this day save many people's lives. You're going to see the victory. Now, I just shared a story about my daughter. Let me tell you something, how that turned into good, okay? We go to ICU. She gets her dialysis, and I get to spend 2 months with her day in and day out. Right after she asked me the question, do you love me more than the church? I get to spend 24 hours a day, 6 days a week with my daughter, showing her that I love her and I care for her. And not only do I love her and care for her, but the Lord Jesus Christ loves and cares for her. And so what the devil meant for evil, when he meant to destroy her and my family, he did not have any chance when God came involved, because now she knows that I love her. She knows that I love her more than the church. She knows I love her more than anything else in this world. Because you know what? What comes first is God, and the second thing comes is my family. I got to see the victory. And another good thing is now she's 15 years old, and when the doctor said that she would never have her kidneys working functionally, her kidneys are working 100%. Hey, I'm not going to lie. She didn't use the bathroom for a few weeks, but when she used the bathroom, that was the worst, horrible, best smelling I have ever had in my life. And the reason being is because it showed me that God healed her. But when we are facing a battle that we didn't choose, sometimes we need to understand it is not our battle to fight. I want to tell you a little bit of a story of when I was in high school. I was walking down the hall. I was actually attending school for once. And I have my book bag on, and I'm walking down the hallway to go to my next class, and I see these two people at it. It was a guy, and it was a girl. And I was getting ready to go over there because I don't believe on guys hitting girls. And once I got there, I realized this. The poor guy was getting beat up. That joker was getting slammed. And at that point, I realized I didn't need to intervene. You know what? It's the same thing. When the battle chooses us, we don't always have to intervene. All we have to do is turn to God. He's the one that's going to fight our battles. He's going to be the one that throws the first punch. The devil is, he's going to block anything the devil throws our way. But if we don't give it to God, then I can guarantee you we're going to lose. Here's another perfect example of what I'm talking about. Think about this. When it comes to Moses, God told Moses that he was going to be there for him. God was the one who sent the plagues, not Moses. God is the one who split the Red Sea, not Moses. God was the one who delivered the people, not Moses. So often we try to insert ourselves into something we have no business inserting ourselves into. when we should be just really following the footsteps of God. Here's another bit of knowledge. When we're truly fighting a battle that was thrown our way, we need to go to Him in prayer. Sometimes that means that we need to take prayers, not just praying, God, help me through this. Sometimes we need to pray into a tongue that's called prayer language. Because sometimes we might not know what to pray, but God always knows what to pray. More times than none, He's going to pray the exact thing that we need in our lives, where when we try to pray, we might be praying the very wrong thing. Prayer opens doors for God to be able to fight our battles. See, when we start praying in a prayer that's an unknown language, it causes us to be a spiritual warrior. Here, I want to tell you a story about when I was in college. We were in Bourbon Street, and that is a very dark place. It could be the most sunniest day in the world, and there's still a dark cloud over this street. Well, we were doing dramas as students in college, secular songs, but we were doing Christian dramas to save people. And we had this drama, and instead, we had a day off. We got to just tour the city. We got to relax a little bit. We've been ministering all week. And I was with my friends, and I just got saved. And now, if you know anything about me, my friends were almost just like me. They were cocky. Well, we go into this place, and I'm not the most observant person, so I didn't look to see what the name of the store was, but eventually I learned that the name of the store was called The Witch's Closet. If I knew that, I would have hightailed running immediately, but I didn't know it, so I go in there, and I see all kind of witches' potions and spell books and everything else, and my friends go, let's go into the corner and minister to the manager, who is a warlock. I asked them, do they need a drug test? Because his wife was also a practicing witch. I was so scared, all I knew what to do was pray. And I'm standing beside this witch, and we were no closer than the pulpit and myself, and I'm praying in tongues. Didn't know what I was praying, I was just praying. And while the others were ministering to him, and the warlock asked his wife, why aren't you casting a spell and defeating them? And she looked at him and said, because he has more power than me. See, when we start praying in tongues and when we start praying in a prayer language that God gives us, we become a spiritual language, and not one demonic thing from hell can help can prevail against us. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of the world's darkness. We have power to be more than a conqueror. We can defeat any darkness that comes our way. We can defeat any battle that the devil throws our way. You know, when I was in school, I was telling you about being in a drama, and we did a song to Phil Collins called Find a Way. And I was playing a 12-year-old boy. I still look like I'm 12, don't I? Anyway, I'm trying to find my place in this world where I try, look how small I am, and they wanted me to pretend to be a bodybuilder. Then I go over and look how ugly I am, and they want me to try to propose to the one of the most prettiest girls there is in this drama. Then I go to trying to be a gangster. Come on, look how small and goofy looking I am, and I'm trying to be a gangster. And then I turn to drugs and alcohol. And I'm going and trying to find, and each person has rejected me because I'm not good enough. And all of a sudden, they turn into this demonic thing, and they start beating me up. And at this point, this is when Jesus is supposed to take my place. And he's supposed to take the beating for me. Well, before Jesus was able to come up and take my place, this guy from a crowd comes and just nails me in the nose. Now, I have a temper on me, and I just wanted to nail this joker back. But I couldn't. I had to stay in character. Too bad I couldn't improv. Anyway, We kept on going on with the drama, and after the end of the drama, this guy stayed and he watched the whole thing, and he came up to me and he asked me, "Dude, why didn't you just end the drama? Blood was going everywhere. I punched you in your nose. You had no business being here." And I looked at him and I said this, "Your punch didn't your punch didn't equal to anything that my Savior went through. That battle that I had to face with just one little punch is not the battle that Jesus had to deal with when he went to the cross." And so I got to minister to him for about an hour, and he goes, and I asked him, "Why do you hate Christians so much?" And he goes, "Because y'all are nothing but hypocrites." Now, in my mind, I was going to say, "Well, what's one more?" But I didn't say that. I said, "Well, why do you think we're hypocrites?" He goes, "Because y'all claim love, but you don't show it." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Because I'm a gay atheist." And so I sat there and I talked to him, and I talked to him, and I talked to him. And I got closer and closer on purpose, and eventually I hugged him. And I was able to win a battle that was thrown my way because of that hug. See, we can win battles that are thrown our way when love is involved. And to this day, far as I know, he is serving the Lord, got straight, and has three kids. No battle is going to be able to defeat us because we can see the victory. Now, we got to also understand, though, when we enter the enemy's camp, we can't expect him to sit there and do nothing and not try to fight back. He's actually going to fight harder because he feels like his kingdom is threatened by our testimony. But you know something? He could fight hard as he wants. But for me and my God, we're stronger. Another thing that we need to realize when it comes to fighting a battle that's thrown our way that we wasn't expecting, sometimes things don't change overnight. You know, when I was pursuing my wife, when we first got to know each other, we didn't like each other. It did not happen overnight that we fell in love. Love did not happen at first sight. She thought I was one of the most cockiest persons that she would ever meet, and I thought she was a snob. But you know what? I was dead wrong. I mean, we didn't like each other so much that when we were riding in a car together to go to church, my best friend and her best friend were engaged, so we were riding to church together. Well, we found out that my cologne and his cologne put together would cause her to sneeze. So guess what we did? Half the bottle went on me, and half the bottle went on him, and then we got into the car. Yeah, I paid for that later. Well, anyway, it didn't happen overnight. And when battles that we have to face that we wasn't expecting, they don't end overnight. But instead, God sometimes allows us to go through these battles to build our character and build our walk with him. He positions ourselves. He wants us to stand strong and see his salvation. See, if you think about it, when David was fighting for his life against Saul, it didn't happen overnight. God didn't deliver. Even though he cried out to God, it didn't deliver him overnight. He prayed for, my research says, from 1014 BC to 1008 BC. To me, that's not overnight. But eventually, he was able to do it. He just had to stay strong and have faith that God was going to one day deliver him. He did not fear. He wasn't dismayed. And the Lord was with him. How many believe that the Lord is with you this morning? I know the Lord is with me. You know, these last few months have been scary for all of us. Some of us might not know if we're going to have a job the next day. We don't know when an income's going to come. We don't know if we're going to get sick ourselves. We don't know if a family member's going to get sick. I'm going to be honest with you. Me and my father-in-law, we don't always get along, but I love him with all of my heart because he's more like a dad than anything else. And I found out that he went to the hospital by ambulance because of his heart. I was scared. I was scared because I thought I might have lost the time to show him how much I loved him. But you know something? I got to see the victory because he came home yesterday. First Samuel chapter 3 says this. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, in the ark of God, while Samuel was laying down, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "I am here." To continue to read, Samuel really didn't realize that that was God calling. He kept on thinking Eli was calling him. And eventually, he realized it was the Lord calling him to come to the tabernacle. When we are facing a battle that we did not choose, we must be able to recognize the voice of God. Because it is the voice of God that's going to be able to direct us and give us the instructions of how to defeat that battle. See, it's the voice of God that will drown out the lies of the enemy. It's the voice of God that will drown out the stuff that's in our minds. Recognizing the voice of God will make us victors. I'm going to go ahead, and I told you, I'm not the most long-winded speaker in the world, but what I had to say, I believe, was important for us to hear. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to call up the worship team if they're here. If they're not here, oh well. Yeah, they'll show up, that's right. You know, I'm going to tell you a funny story while we're waiting on them. When it comes to recognize the voice of God, there's a lot of times that part of my job here is to call people, and they'll know who Pastor Roger is, and I'll tell them, "Hey, this is Roger." But they still think I'm a girl. They don't recognize that there's a guy on the other line talking to them. But you know something? It doesn't matter whether I sound like a girl or if I sound like a boy or whatever the case may be. What matters is this, that I'm speaking the truth. And the way I can speak the truth is if I listen to the voice of God. Would you please stand with me? And I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think right now, what battle are you facing? What is it that is trying to defeat you? What is it that is trying to destroy you? And what is it that God is trying to tell you of how to defeat it? I called them and I asked them to play a song called "See the Victory." And while they're playing this song, I want you to sing the victory into the very battle that you're fighting this morning. And then we're going to pray, and I'm going to dismiss you. I'm going to give them a little time to prepare. And while they're doing that, I'm going to repeat the scripture. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. For who is with you, O Judea and Jerusalem? Do not fear or dismay. Tomorrow against them, the Lord is with you. God is with you. So as they're playing this, believe that God is with you and you can conquer the very battle that has crossed your mind this morning. So as they're singing this, let's become more than conquerors. Amen. Come on, let's sing it like we mean it.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory.
It is so cool that what the enemy meant for evil, God turns into good. Come on, I want to hear it. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns into good. I want you to go ahead and give him a praise in the battle that you have just won. Come on, let's give God a good hand clap. Come on, let's give him a praise. Let's give him a thanksgiving. We might not see the victory yet, but the victory is coming. Praise God. Father, we come to you and we thank you because you're God. But we thank you because everything that is meant for evil, that tries to destroy us, you're going to turn it into good. You're going to turn it into a testimony that we'll be able to bring somebody else to your kingdom. Father, I ask you, every person that's underneath my voice, whether they're in this building or if they're online, I'm asking you right now, the battle that they're facing, that they will see a victory. They will be able to see a testimony, Father God. And we will know that you are God. And the world will know that you are God. And the enemy will no longer allow to be able to put fear in our hearts, because we will see your salvation. In your precious name we pray. And everybody says,
Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.